This is Evolutionary Radio. This is your host, Trevor Kuritzen. We are coming at you live from the Evolutionary Radio headquarters. As always, I have my loyal and faithful co-host, Steve Smee, joining us.
Good evening, everyone. One of my favorite shows and one of the top three or five cable shows on television, Naked and Afraid XL, we have a special guest that just survived the 40-day XL challenge in Africa, Gary Golding. How's it going, Gary?
Good. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
So Gary, I unfortunately live in Canada, so I had never seen this TV show. It sounds really interesting though, just from the little bit Steve has told me. It almost sounds like a more hardcore version of that show Survivor. So just for our listeners who have never watched the show before, maybe they're up north living with the polar bears like me, tell us a little bit about what this show is, and then also tell us a little bit about yourself. What made you want to get on this TV show?
Okay, what this show is actually, you have to go out and survive in the wild, naked with, one other person for the 21-day challenge and naked with 12 other people for the 40-day challenge. And, I was invited to do the 40-day challenge because of how I did on my 21-day challenge and the type of human being I am. And I'm a survivalist. I'm a teacher all over Los Angeles. I teach nature, how to grow food. I have, you know, videos on, I take people on adventures all over Los Angeles, kayaking with dolphins, snorkeling with sea lions, wild edibles. I teach children, you know, I live off the land in Los Angeles. I'm known as Tarzan of Los Angeles. And, I pretty much, my whole life is nature, and I went on the show to carry a message to humanity. This thing on my shirt right here, which I actually got tattooed.
For our listeners, he just ripped his shirt off and he's showing us his back.
It says, consume as little as possible. So is that, you told me on the phone you trademarked that, correct?
Yeah, which I got tattooed on my back because... I'm going to be seen naked around the world, and I'm a man who lives for a sentence, and I live for the most powerful sentence known to all humanity. Because if every single human being on Earth did this today, the planet would be cleaner by tomorrow. It's a form of, you know, you see people that have a spirituality where they believe in an afterlife, and they try to get into a paradise in an afterlife for a belief, where this is an actual action, that if everybody did this today, we would have a paradise right here on Earth. It's an action. It's not even a belief. It's an action. So undeniably, I tell people, if you have a form of spirituality and you meditate, and then the other, and let's say, for example, Trevor and Steve, Trevor meditates, Stephen prays, and then we put a can in the middle of the room, and we say, okay, you meditate, you pray, and then I'll use my technique, and we'll move the can, okay? Here we go. Ready? You grab the can and you freaking move it. Action. Spirituality is made a little too complex.
I like this guy.
I knew you'd like him, Trevor. Yeah, we're big on the environment as well. So what are some ways that people can start right now before we start getting into some of this? We have user questions, especially about the show that they want to know. But let's get into this a little bit. What are some ways that we all can contribute to consuming as little as possible? And is that one of the reasons you want on the show? Because you're not eating very much on the show, for example?
I love that question. Let me break that down. Some things we can do. I went on the show. You have to remember this. On day 9 or 10, I had not eaten for 10 days. The producer, the sound guy, and the cameraman were following me around. And the producer said, Gary, you have not eaten in 10 days and you have not complained once. What makes you like this? Everybody always complains. Everybody always asks for help. And you won't even, you don't complain ever. And I turned around and I said, don't you see? I'm here to inspire you men. I said, I was sent here by the universe. This is no accident. I'm on a show where you consume hardly anything. You have no possessions at all, hardly. I haven't eaten in 10 days. I also happen to trademark and own the sentence, consume as little as possible. Being filmed in Brazil, the country being consumed by the whole planet, the Amazon is disappearing at a rate of 2 football fields a minute. And then I go to Africa and another country being exploited for its resources. And then before I go there, 2 weeks before I go there, I believe in the sentence so much I have it tattooed on my back because I know the whole world is going to see it because we do play in Canada. We're playing there now. It's been on for a few weeks. It's huge in Brazil. It shows in Africa. It plays in Germany. So I'm going to be seen by, I guess they say, up to 90 million people on Earth in every major language. And I want this to be the consciousness of humanity in every single language on Earth. And so I have been filmed in the two countries that are being exploited the most. And so, yes, I went on the show for this sentence right here. I tell people I'm a man who lives for a sentence and everything I do revolves around that sentence, meaning teaching children, saving animals. I save bees, everything. And now what can we all do? I will tell you. Here's how it works. Once people realize there's a good movie called Consumed. There's another one called The Price of Sugar. And there's a priest in that documentary called The Price of Sugar. Our sugars to this very day, our sugar comes from Haitian slavery in the Dominican Republic. Once you realize that everything you touch, you see, you know, Paul Watson, the guy that saves the whales. Why does he have to save the whales? You know why? Because someone's consuming them. You know why we have to protect the sharks? Because the Chinese are consuming shark fin soup. It all boils down to the consumer. And if you want Nestle to stop ripping off your rivers and lakes and sucking out your water, then don't buy bottled water because you really vote with your dollar and the consumer controls everything. So I want to get into the consumer mind, the consciousness, and I want this sentence to be the consciousness of humanity in every single language on Earth, because I guarantee you, if you sprinkle this on meat, you sprinkle it on gasoline, you sprinkle it on plastic, you sprinkle it on sugar, you sprinkle this on anything, and everybody does it. Diamonds, which they happen to mine in your country, Canada, that they call non-conflict, which there is no such thing as a non-conflict diamond, and because it conflicts with the Earth. And if you sprinkle this sentence on everything, the planet will get cleaner, I guarantee you. And that's what you do. Everything you touch, everything you wear, try to not buy anything. Just try.
So Gary, I'm not very materialistic. Part of the reason for that is I'm very spiritual. I'm a Christian, so I don't really obsess about obtaining materialistic possessions, because for me, that's not the purpose of my life, right? For me, this is just a short existence on Earth before I go into the afterlife. But for the average person who's maybe an atheist, non-religious, their whole being is about consuming. Most men, their life is about getting the biggest toys, the best job, the most
Trevor,
sleeping with Trevor, as women as possible.
Trevor,
yes.
Trevor, I love what you're saying, and I'm going to go into something right now because I want to speak at a Christian church, and I was asked to years ago, but I wasn't as refined with my philosophies and theories. I want to sit. Now, if you're a Christian, my favorite story in the Bible is when Jesus flips over the tables and chases people with a whip. Now, Jesus was an asshole. And I love that asshole because I can relate to him, because I'll tell you what, people say he doesn't cuss and he's not a violent man. Well, that sounds like a pretty violent man. And don't think he was saying, oh, by Joe, fellas, what are you doing over here? That's cussing physically. I don't care what people say. So I love that action by Jesus. And so what you're saying is absolutely true. And what I'm saying falls in line. And what I love, what I want to do when I go, if I go to a church, I want to speak to them and I want to have an assistant while I'm speaking. And I want to say, because this is what gets me about some Christians. And I want to say, All right, everybody, hold up your hands, hold up your fingers, and display on your fingers how many carats of diamonds you have on your body right now. Okay? And then I'm going to give a speech. I'm going to talk about consumption and everything like you just said. And then I'm going to have my assistant come up, and I'm going to do the math. Because you have to move 1,750 tons of earth and ore to get 1 carat of diamond. And when I'm speaking, after the assistant brings up the number of carats are on people's bodies in the room, I'm going to say, okay, well, in this room right here, get the calculator out. This room alone is responsible for a hole in the ground the size of a football field, 4 stories tall. So you right here, if you believe in this Jesus guy, are responsible for devouring the earth that this great God gave you. And shouldn't the afterlife be about getting there by showing you can take care of this place here? Because I wouldn't let you at my house and stay with me if you show me that you couldn't take care of your own. So that really should be the test of the afterlife, is how well we take care of this place. And what you just said, because what are you, like 32 or something? I don't know. I'm an age where I'm going to tell you something right now. Jim Morrison and Jimi Hendrix were the musical heroes. Richard Pryor and Cheech and Chong were the comedic heroes. The Marlboro Man was on every billboard all over the place. I'm from Los Angeles. We were raised with candy cigarettes in our mouth, drinking shots of ginger ale while Dad's drinking shots of Jack Daniels at the bar. In 1981, Time put a article on the cover of the magazine that cocaine was not addictive. Cocaine was a health food when I was a kid. It was for rock stars and rich people. So you were raised to be a douchebag. And that's what a man was. That's what manhood was what you just said, how many women you sleep with. And now we're suffering the hangover, AIDS, a drug addiction came, and all kinds of stuff. And so what you just said is, when I tapped into how much we are controlled by the media and how much it controls us and how much it develops us as human beings, you're talking to a man who got on what Steve just said there, who got into the belly of the beast, into the mainstream media, and is dismantling it from the inside. Ha ha, mother. Here I am. I am in mainstream media, and they got me on TV changing the minds of the fucking world.
You're an intense guy, Gary, for sure. We definitely saw that on the show.
So, hey, listen, yeah. Listen. I'm not just an intense guy. What you just heard, whether you know it or not, is highly intellectual. I don't know if you know what you just heard, but
yeah. I agree. Totally, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are in the media. You are media, and. That's what I told people, tell me all the time. Well, yeah, you're on a show where they sell stuff, they sell products. I go, yeah, but I found my way into the belly of the beast, and sometimes you have to get up into it to dismantle it.
So what are the things going on right now, like in the United States currently? So, I mean, on this show, like, we can curse, we can talk anything, like anything you want. What are things right now going in the United States that really are screwing up the earth with? Are we still screwing up the earth more and more, or are we kind of reversing things? Are things kind of getting better with climate change and all this stuff going on and the consumption and all this stuff? Is the overpopulation the main issue?
Well, yeah, that's a beautiful question. I love this. I tell people, you know, now this is going to be a rough one. I tell people I own the most powerful sentence known to all humanity, more powerful than anything even like Buddha said. And here's why. Buddha existed 2,600 years ago with a population of 100,000 people on the planet. Back then, the middle way made sense. Seeking inner peace is a selfish concept. If you study the Buddha, Siddhartha, he was a prince who snuck out of the temple in the middle of the night, walked out on his wife and kid, and walked out on all kinds of money. So he was famous already. So he's even more famous because, like, now it's like, can you believe this guy walked out on all this money? Just like St. Francis of Assisi did. He walked out on all kinds of money and actually got naked and walked out of, and rejected his father's riches. Now what you get into is it's funny how people think that spirituality can't evolve because from 2,600 years ago. Now, here we are today on a planet with 7.5 billion people on it, even though Jesus and Buddha existed, and we're still going down the shithole. So we need something more extreme because we are in more extreme times, and we need to change the consciousness of humanity to basically what Trevor said, to not be after. You know, I love, like I will tell people, I love the teachings of Buddha. I love the teachings of Jesus. But at the same time, you know, I'm a man with flaws, and then I have the same DNA as like Gandhi and all those people, because I'm a man who's crazy enough to be bold enough to think he could change the world. But I wear my monk outfit differently because just like the Buddha said, I am just a regular man like you, make your own path. Or he also says, if you see the Buddha, kill him. Jesus himself says, you can do everything I can do and more. But he puts a clause on it that you have to believe in the Father to get into the heavens. So these men were men of action, of action. And so, yes, we need to literally, you know, and I do this on purpose. You asked why I trademarked it and why I claim to own it. Because I know that the most powerful sentence known to all humanity, because some people try to debate with me. And people in the environmental world are very egotistical. They have huge egos. So they'll try to do battle with me. They go, no, love is the most important word. And I go, no. It can be misconstrued. Some people love diamonds. Some people love violence. Some people love shoes. So some people love cigarettes. Now, this is an action, no matter where you put it, cannot be misconstrued. It is the most powerful sentence known to all humanity. And until everybody, you included, submits to that, that's the truth. Paul Watson should have this on the side of his ship. The kid that invented the thing that cleans the ocean, God, which is genius. Now, Paul Watson's a hero, by the way. Jesus is a hero. Buddha's a hero. Don't get me wrong. But this needs to be the consciousness of humanity in every language on earth, because if we program all of humanity to do this, I promise you, and I don't know, am I wrong? If everybody did this, would the planet not be cleaner? Would the children of the future not have clean water to swim in? Would there be more fish in the ocean? Would the ocean be cleaner? It would. So it's funny when people want to debate me, and really what it draws out of them, the reason they want to debate me, and you will have people call me an idiot and look at him, to each his own. And no, not to each his own, because if you and I, which I have been, I've lived, if we were stuck on an island together, like I was stuck in the wilderness and I was burning all the firewood and I was pissing in our drinking water, and you would actually come up to me and say, dude, what are you doing, man? We got to all live here. And it's so funny how people are. We're floating around on a big round island together and they don't realize it. And so people say, aren't you extreme? Aren't you intense? And I say, hey, if they want you to be politically correct and all this stuff, and it's like, hey, if you were on a bus racing towards a cliff and the bus full of children and the bus driver fell asleep, you wouldn't walk up to the bus driver and be politically correct and go, excuse me, bus driver, you're rolling out of control. Can you hit the brakes? No, you would go, stop the bus now. Well, guess what? Hey, in case none of you know it, we're on a bus called Planet Earth, and it's full of every child on the planet. And I'm the man screaming, hit the brakes. Now, if I'm the crazy one, if that makes me crazy, well then, forgive me for being a little insulting to people that don't get it. Because if you don't see the power in this, and you're stuck in a spirituality that you were indoctrinated with from birth, that is about just a paradise after here, then forgive me for insulting you. But if you don't hop on board, then I don't see you possessing the intellect to be aware of something that's just right, plain, straight in front of your face, obvious.
Mr. Golding, the people who listen to this podcast, they're type A people. They're go getters. They're not your average person. So for any of our listeners who, you know, are listening to this, they love your message. give them some golden nuggets. You know, what would be the first step? Maybe planting your own garden, maybe avoiding certain foods at the grocery store, maybe only eating meat a couple of days per week. Let's say yes. One of our listeners is loving your message and they want to start. What would be the first couple steps for them to do?
Trevor, you just listed a few of them right there. I would say number one, on a personal nutritional level, because I think you guys touch on nutrition, right? Consume as little as possible, like regular fasting and stuff like that is actually proven to make you live longer. So on a personal level, you live longer. Yeah. And
I actually did a 19-day fast back in February, by the way. So I'm definitely a big advocate for fasting. We had a user question about fasting. We'll get to that in a bit, but go ahead. Yep.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And so here's the deal. Like say for example, I eat a lot of wild edibles off the land. And if you live in the hills, stinging nettles, dandelions, plantain, weeds. I tell people, I love this because we get into nutrition here and we'll touch on nutrition. Wild edibles are far more nutritious than farmed edibles because in 1914, I believe that spinach was tested to be 20 times more nutritious than it was in 1992. Depleted soils, bred for size and color. I tell people, if you took a wolf and you took a purebred dog and you let them loose in the wild, who do you think would live? The wolf. So I go out and I try to eat wild edibles as much as possible because that is the wolf of vegetables. Growing in a permaculture environment, completely natural, not depleted soils. So that's the DNA I want in my system because I want the blood, I want the DNA of the wolf because the wolf of vegetables. And I spoke at a garden in Culver City and they said to me at the high school, what about these weeds right here? We can't get rid of these weeds. And I said, that one's good for your liver. That one's good for your kidneys. That one, I go, it's funny, people want to kill the weeds when the Europeans brought dandelions to America and used to fence them in because they were so good. And now we consider it a weed. Isn't that crazy? And so I tell them, how about trying to grow the weeds or learn? If you got a yard full of weeds, you got a yard full of nutrition and medicine. And eat the weeds because they're way more nutritious than what you're probably buying at the store with no pesticides on them. So it's like I try to open people's minds up in their ways of thinking to realize that you are surrounded by food and health. And it's another programming. It's almost like a form of racism. It's like plantism where you are told those are weeds. So now you think they're bad. When I stayed, what opened my mind to this is I stayed on a self-reliance farm. And when I got there, the guy had rows. His name was Peter Bigfoot, a survival teacher from Arizona. He had rows of stinging nettles, rows of dandelions, rows of everything that we call weeds. He was farming them. If you can't kill them if you try, imagine that DNA, resistant to disease, resistant to pesticides. Isn't that the DNA you want in your body? So, yeah, everybody, you need to apply this philosophy to every single thing. I bring my own to-go containers to restaurants. Just like a lot of people bring their own bags, I bring my own little juice containers to like the juice places. And I refill everything. I don't take any trash out with me if I can. And I'm, like you said, I'm very conscious of the level of meat that I eat, but also buying into like kale, you know, they'll strip whole for palm oil. They're killing the orangutans. So, you know, every single thing you touch, that's why I try to take in as little as possible. I'm gonna give you a prime example. If I came to stay with you, Trevor, at your house, and the earth works like this. It's like you're a roommate and we're here visiting for a while. And I said, Trevor, I need a place to stay. Can I stay with you? And he said, yeah, Gary. And you woke up in the morning. I took a shower and I used all your hot water. And then you heard me banging around in the kitchen, waking you up and your girlfriend up and making all kinds of noise. And then I ate half a dozen eggs. And then I left the dirty dishes in the sink. And then your girlfriend says, man, Gary, like, was hitting on me today, you know? And then you find out I'm just a complete taker, right? And I'm a complete taker. Well, you're going to want to get rid of me as quick as possible. You're not going to want me to stay with you. But here's how it works. Now, if I went to the gym and I used the shower at the gym and I ate one of your eggs and you didn't hear me cooking and you came out and the dishes were clean, you didn't even know I was in the kitchen. And then your girlfriend says, I never see Gary around, man. He's hardly around. And I don't hardly make any impact on your house. You're going to come to me, Trevor, and you're going to say, Gary, anytime you need a place to stay, man, you're welcome here. And that's how the earth works, because if you consume too much and you're a pig, you get gout, heart disease, diabetes, and it tries to get rid of you as quick as possible and kill you off because you're a bad roommate. Same exact concept. It's so right in front of you. It's so simple and plain. And that's what I try to display to people, that you know, consume as little as possible wherever you are.
It's true. I mean, if you look at most chronic diseases, they're because of you're consuming too many calories, doing too much exercise. It's basically doing too much when it really comes down to it. Most chronic diseases are the result of doing too much.
Mom, can you get off the internet or something? It's slowing me down.
We got you. It's a little bit of a lag, but we're good. We're good. We got a little lag.
I didn't get to hear Trevor. I wanted to hear what Trevor said.
Yeah, go ahead again, Trevor, one more time.
I basically said, if you look at the root cause of any chronic disease, you know, whether it be diabetes, whatever, it's excess. It's either consuming too many calories, it's exercising too much, it's doing too much.
Yeah, and hey, and Trevor, what I love about that is, so then that's what makes the planet sick. Same exact concept. We're just mini versions of the planet, same amount of water. And so if we all consumed less, the planet would recover. The salmon, you know, like the salmon industry, your good documentary, watch Salmon Confidential. The salmon industry doesn't want us to know that we don't need them, because they won't make money if we realize the salmon will regenerate every year on their own and millions of them will go up there and we could have wild salmon, because then it'll be too easy. Just like, you know, if we opened a lane through the middle of America and we let the buffalo run back and forth by the millions, we would have actually beautiful meat, you know? And so it's like we treat all these things, we trap and cage everything. And so capitalism can make as much money as they want it. I'm gonna tell you something I did. I have a video on YouTube where I fed 50 people on Skid Row out of a trash can. I get 50 dozen eggs out of that trash can every time I go. And here's why. A lot of people don't know that eggs last up to like 6 to 9 months in a basement, not refrigerated, in a cool area with some olive oil on them. And they last a long time. The egg industry doesn't want you to know that. So people say, and the eggs are all 3 weeks away from expiration, okay? When I go into this dumpster. Now people go, why is that? And it's all about shelf space. When the new eggs come in, they have to throw the old eggs out. But people go, well, that isn't right that they throw the old eggs out. Well, as a business, they wouldn't make any money if we all knew this, because we'd all be waiting out the back end of the store for all the eggs to come out. Nobody would ever buy any freaking eggs. So I can respect the grocery store's idea of what they're doing. They would collapse as a business and competition. And the egg industry doesn't want us to know this, because we would all be buying way less eggs. So I fed 50 people on Skid Row from a trash can with eggs that were still 3 weeks away from expiration. I got out of the trash. And you see, that industry does not want you to know that, because they're kicking butt. They're kicking butt on us buying more and more and more eggs. And so I'm here to wake people up And I'm hoping the egg industry and the diamond industry and the bottled water industry wants me assassinated.
Yeah, definitely restaurant industry and grocery stores. Oh my God, they throw away so much food every single day. I mean, you go to a restaurant and you see how much food they dump at the end of the night. It's absurd. Like these supermarkets, seafood, all the seafood that's left over, they just throw it away. Or, you know, what they can, they'll donate some, but a lot of it gets thrown away. So it's just amazing, like, because we have to have food available all the time. So heaven forbid the supermarket only puts out what's available. They have to have everything, crabs and lobsters and every type of fish and all this stuff. So it's just, yeah, it's very disturbing. And man, I'm with you, man. We share the ideology for sure. So we have 25.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah, go ahead. Yep.
I get wild-caught coho salmon, still frozen, out of the dumpsters.
Oh, wow. Okay. I believe it. Yeah, that is something.
I gave away five turkeys 3 years in a row, 25-pound turkeys, to families from a dumpster. So awesome. I tell people, I feed people out of trash cans. And this is where it gets – hey, you'll love this, Trevor. This is where it gets like the whole Jesus thing. So I will pick on people. I'll say, I'm more like Jesus than anybody you know. And they'll go, oh, my God, how dare you? And I break it down like this. I feed people from nothing, a couple pieces of bread and a couple fish. What I mean by that is when it becomes trash, it becomes nothing to society. I go in the trash can and I feed a whole ton of people from a trash can. You walk softer on the earth. I teach children how to grow vegetables in gardens. I save bees. And people say, so who knows how many people I feed from the bees I save and the crops they pollinate. And so it's like Jesus fed 4,000. Who knows how much and what I try to do is demonstrate to people how one man, how much more people I might feed just by my actions. And if we all did this, could you just imagine?
So we have about 25 minutes left. So I want to get to some user questions. This kind of ties into what you were just saying about wasting food. You had a little incident during the 40 days when Matt showed up because you had found a Nyala or it was a Nyala head that had been sitting there and it had maggots all over it. And nobody wanted to eat it except Lacey because she wanted a little bit of it. And no one else wanted to eat it. And you had a little argument with Matt over that. Was that because you felt like, hey, you know, why is the team wasting the food? And then follow up on that, they want to know, the show didn't really show, how did you guys end up hashing out that situation? Did one of you just kind of say, hey, man, you know, sorry for losing my temper? How did you guys move on from that incident? Because that was the highlight of the show for me.
Yeah. I'll tell you the story. It wasn't a head of a Nyala. It was a whole Nyala. It was a leopard kill taken down with leopard prints all around it. And I had gone out. This doesn't make it to the show, but it's you know, cause they can't show everything, but it's okay to talk about this because it doesn't affect it in a negative way. It actually enhances the show a little bit. So Melissa forgets her bow out there. We sat under a shady tree. So she goes with me the first time and she holds the legs back and I hatchet the legs off and they're huge. And I bring back two legs before that. And I throw them down. And then I go back to get the head and Sarah is starving. So as a motivational thing, I invited Sarah along to help me and she wanted to help. And I said, yeah, come on. Why? Cause I could have got that head by myself, but it was nice to have company and she was starving. So she was into it. Sarah goes with me and I hatchet the head off of the body and I hatchet the back strap out of the back, which is the filet mignon part of the animal. And I get it all. And you see me carry it back with the horns like a backpack. And I bring the head back. The back end of the animal's maggoty with flies all over it. I bring the head back with the filet mignon, the back strap. And Matt isn't there yet. And I get like 80 pounds of meat. And I throw it down. I throw the head down. And what people are missing with me is how I try to give people my mindset. It's almost like my form of teaching. And so it gets lost, and here's why. Like in my episode, my 21-day episode with the Kara, the first black woman to ever, the only black woman to ever do the show so far, I get there, and there's flies all over it. If you saw my first episode, I'm sucking the flies in. And I say, I just eat the flies. I love the flies all over me. I do this to try to give her my mindset, because I know she's going to let these flies defeat her. And so people think I'm being just weird and crazy when I'm trying to pass something along, because I know if she gets my mindset, the flies, she views them as a gift, she'll maybe make it through the survival challenge, right? So this is what happens. I come and I bring the head, and you see me tell the whole team, if you don't eat this head, I'm going to make fun of you. And then you see me holding the head up and saying, this head smells of life. Well, I'm trying to give them my mindset so they can devour it as easily as I did. Okay? So there's a teaching, which would have functioned beautifully because they started starving. My lesson would have come full circle had Matt not showed up with a bunch of jerky. So Matt shows up with all this jerky, and now it looks like I'm just being a pure asshole. And there was actually, that was me trying to give them my mindset so in case they had to eat it, they would be able to eat it as easily as I did. Now, what I want to display to you, what I want to tell you is that jerky was like chewing on a shoe. So you'll hear Matt talk about it like they had plenty of meat, which they did. He is right. But nobody was eating as much as me. I had it in a stew. I was eating meat all day long, 2 days straight. Now, it looks like I get sick because I get the shits after 2 days of eating meat all day long. And any one of you that eats meat all day for days, you're going to take a few craps. I didn't get nauseous. I didn't get headaches. I did not get sick. I got stronger, but I had to take a few craps. I had to adjust. I ate that meat for 3 more days without incident, getting stronger and stronger. I ate more meat than anybody there at that, except for Matt on his own. I was eating at that time more than anybody. So what you saw was me trying to give them my mindset to eat that meat, and then Matt shows up with all that jerky. Now, the only reason Matt and I get, it's easy for people to paint it as though I was jealous and intimidated.
I didn't. I just want to say, first of all, I didn't feel that way because, you know, I totally understood where you're coming from because you're trying to help the team and this guy just shows up. It's like you're busting your ass in a football game, the whole game. And then they take you out of the game to put someone else in, and they don't say, thank you. We're up 40-0. Thank you for getting us a 40-point lead. And it's like they don't appreciate shit. So I was with you, man, on that personally. Like,
I understand Matt's viewpoint because he doesn't know, right? What you miss out on if you watch the show, remember I feed them those figs and I go, manja, right?
Right.
But they only show, it looks like I did that every day for a week. Those people ate figs every day. No one else could climb that fig tree.
And by the way, that fig pea was how tall? About 70 feet, right?
The first one, when I fed them at Shane and Lacey's camp, is about 40 feet, 45 feet, right? And
if you fall out of that tree, what would happen? You'd probably break, you'd be out.
Oh man, you could die from that height. Yeah. They say that most deaths from a fall happen from like 15 to 25 feet. Yeah. So now, listen, you're right about that. That's cool. You observed that. And so I'm feeding them for a week of figs, one of the main calorie providers, right? Matt doesn't know this. So then we go and I provide, all of a sudden I got like 80 pounds of meat, right? And it's exactly what you said. All of a sudden it's like, so then they're mad at me for not building the shelter, but because I was cooking steaks and I had to cook all this meat before so it wouldn't go bad because the flies lay maggots on it, right? So I'm like, you build the shelter. There's plenty of you. Let's disperse the work a little bit. You know, I got to admit, I was kind of like thinking, are you guys serious right now? And I'm going to tell you something because Sarah will admit it. Sarah was the one that needed it, and they almost were ready to medically tap her out. They were worried about her getting organ failure. She was a bone. She ate a steak, and she was like, oh. So I was feeding the needy, just like I do in the outside world. I was feeding the needy on that challenge. So Lacey's not the only one that ate it. Sarah ate it. And if you do watch the show, which is right there on camera, Trent comes and picks out choice pieces. And I say, that's cool. You can have that. I'll eat the crappy ones. So here I am being generous. Melissa told me while she was hatcheting off the legs with me, I'll probably be the only one to eat this with you. She said that to me. Then Shane told me he would think about it. Kayla and Lindsay are the only two that said, no way. So before he walks up, I sure am the man with the meat that everybody's thinking about eating.
We weren't there, since Trevor and I weren't there and our people listening, did the meat smell? I know it had maggots on it, but how bad was the smell? Because they were complaining about the smell on the show. Since we weren't there, we have no way of knowing. Like, what was the smell really that bad, or?
No, it wasn't that bad, but it started, what happens when you have meat in the boma, you get flies. And that's even with a fresh kill. You get flies all around. And so they were complaining about that meat in the boma. And you see me one time, they show me saying one line one time, but I said it all the time out there. Because they were complaining. I said, when you got flies in the boma, you got food in the boma. Because even if it was a fresh kill, there would be flies around. Now, what ends up happening later is you see it. We see us get Matt and Kayla get those kills. They all eat a bunch of meat. Well, guess what? They start running to the bushes. I watch Melissa, Trent, Lindsay start running to the bushes and taking all kinds of craps, like I did. Lindsay actually walks into the boma at one point and says, Gary, I'm sorry for judging you. Now I see what you're going through. And I looked at Lindsay and I said, thank you for that. Because that never made it. But after eating that much meat, everybody gets the craps a little bit. So I just got the craps. And you know what? That's where you get into me and Matt getting into an argument. Because he's insisting I was sick. And I'm going, bull crap. Knowing that that's going to be fed that way to the cameras, right? And so I'm like, no. And so
Was your bowel movement solid, or was it very runny?
Oh, it was runny. It was runny. See, okay. I'll be completely honest, but it was for seven shits. It was for seven shits. That's it.
Do you think that was caused by dehydration, or was it because of the bacteria in the meat that would have caused that?
No, it's some people call it, you see, Dave Chappelle has an episode where he's eating ribs. He calls it mud butt. You just eat that much meat.
Maybe no fiber, just no fiber, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I felt there was no dehydration. We had water boiling all the time. There was no I'm telling you, I was getting stronger. I was not getting sick.
Okay. So how did you and Matt end up hashing things out? Because it seemed like by the end of the episode, everyone was getting along.
First I have to tell you how the argument was. What the argument was, so you understand the hash out. So Matt, see, I'm cooking steaks one day. You see me wearing a hat. I was fleshing a hide to make myself a hat another day. And then the other day I was picking figs. So for a few days they're working on the shelter. And I'm like, I had built so many shelters like Shane along the way. I was like, hey, F them, let the hunters build the shelter. I'm going to go get the food. And I did, I got figs. And so I was 65 feet up a tree. I come back. You know, Matt has the crappy job of them looking up to him, so he's believing in that crap. And you see Trent say, Gary does whatever he wants whenever he wants, right? Well, everybody did whatever they wanted whenever they wanted. So I'm getting food, and I'm 65 feet up a tree, and Matt's telling me where I should be. Now I got a man telling me what to do and where to go, and he's also telling me how I feel, that I'm sick when I'm not. So he's like imposing his will on me, where I should be, what I should be doing, and how I actually feel. Now, if I did that to you, Steve, and I was telling you, no, you are sick, and you're saying, no, I'm not, you're going to be like, who the hell are you? So you have to understand, At that point, and it makes it to camera so I could talk about it, I look at him and I could tell he's not going to relent. He wants the world to see it that way. So then I'm just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm not going to beg these people for friendship. And I stand up and I say, shut the fuck up. And it was worse than that. They didn't put everything in there. They didn't put everything in there because I was like, you don't talk to me. You know, I got pretty vicious with it. And so no one
had your back. It was just you against like the three or four of them sitting there. It seemed like they were kind of ganging up on you. Yeah.
That blew me away.
And that would make me pissed too. Yeah.
25 days of work and nobody will speak up to their idol. You know, I'm just like tripping on this and I'm going like, None of you after eating figs, none of you are going to speak up. And I could tell it was probably because the way I did that in the all ahead and said I'd make fun of them and they didn't realize what I was doing. I was trying to give them mindset and it came off as just pure a-hole. And so now what happens is I stand my ground and I'll tell you how we hashed it out. So once I do that, I come back to the BOMA and I tell Matt, hey, look, Matt, sorry to have to be that way, but you know, there's no chiefs here, bro. I said, there's no chiefs. You're not the chief. You're not my chief. Maybe you're theirs, but you ain't mine. So there's no chiefs in my world. All right. So if we get an understanding here, we'll get along. And he's like, all right, you're right. Cool. And, you know, Matt's a great guy. I'm going to tell you something. First of all, before I get too deep, Matt is a great guy. He's an excellent survivalist. You'll never hear me say anything different. And we fist bump, boom. And we make up like brothers. You know, we get in a disagreement. We're like brothers. Matt had that crappy position, that crappy job of feeling like he was doing the right thing by speaking up to me, which I guarantee you, you know, he probably that didn't work out too well.
Yeah. Well, if you wouldn't have stood up for yourself, you know, then, you know, who knows what would have happened? You know, maybe they wouldn't have been pushed themselves. So,
yeah. Well, here's the deal, Steve, but I want to stress to you. I'm sticking up. They don't realize it's like kind of like that freedom of speech thing where by me screaming in the streets stuff that you don't like and you don't believe in, like even though you don't like it, it helps you to let me do it because one day you may have something you want to say, right? So it's like that freedom of speech argument. So they didn't know how much I was sticking up for them because I didn't like how it looked that like we got this hero that needed to save the day. And for those four beautiful, strong women to have to look like anybody has to save them, I was sticking up for them too. It's like, hey, 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 yo, yo, no, no, record scratch.
Yeah. No, I didn't think any of the, from the past, we've had some past guests on the show that have, on the XLs that have been assholes to women and stuff. So yeah, I didn't feel any of you guys. I thought it was a good team effort toward the end. So we only have like five minutes left. And I know Trevor, he might have a question for you, but let me ask you this. How many pounds did you end up losing in those 40 days? I think it was 42 pounds you ended up losing. And then what happened after the show? Did you gain it all back? Did you hear my question, Gary?
Steve.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
I lost you for a whole lot there.
I was going to ask, this is a question. I know Trevor, I feel bad because Trevor didn't watch the show, so he feels left out. But this is a question that he would like. You ended up losing, I believe, 42 pounds after 40 days being on the survival show. How long did it take you to make those pounds back after you were done?
I got them back pretty quick. I lost 44 pounds in 16 days on my first challenge. I almost died. I ended up with third-degree burns down my throat and severe kidney injury in the hospital in Brazil for 5 days on IV. And so I literally almost killed myself to get this message to the world. And yes, I got to clarify, this is the only reason I did the challenge, to carry a message to humanity. And here I am in media getting the job done. And so I gained it back pretty quickly when I got back from Africa. You know, you just want to do nothing but eat when you get back because you got, you know, like you were saying, you live in a world where you get to have buttered bread whenever you feel like. Oh, my God, I thought about buttered bread the whole time. Coffee. I never used to drink coffee. I'm a coffee addict now because I told myself I'm just gonna like indulge a little bit. So it didn't take too long to gain it back. What took a few weeks was I had some kind of bite on my penis that I lasted a while, and then I had to squeeze maggots out of my legs a couple weeks later that were growing in my body. Trent got malaria. I believe Matt got malaria. Someone was diagnosed possibly with Lyme disease. What a lot of people don't know is this show is real, and we literally sign up for death and disease. This is not, they literally go home at night and left me in middle of the wilderness in Brazil by myself. And if a big cat jumps on you, there's not a man with a gun watching like in certain places. You are literally left to fight the wild. People don't realize how real this show is. So when you talk about Survivor, man, I've heard that Naked and Afraid, I'm telling you what, man, it's real. You take anybody from Naked and Afraid and you put them on that show alone where we got 10 items and clothing on, we ain't coming back. So it's like, I gained my weight back pretty quick, but I have to stress to you how real this challenge is. We really do sign our life away. We sign up to die.
So do you have to sign? I know Trevor has probably some questions about the weight thing, but you have to sign a waiver basically to go on there. And if something were to happen to you, you wouldn't be able to sue them or anything, right?
Yeah. Even the creator of the show, Steve Rankin, he was scouting in Costa Rica. He got bit by a fur de lance and he almost lost his foot. So even the people that made the show have almost died just scouting, and he had boots on. So we're out there walking around butt naked with black mambas. And I discovered a whole bunch of African bees. And, think about it. You see people cut themselves. The guy that was with the teen mom, he just recently sliced his foot open. You know, we risk losing pieces of our body and our life and everything.
Yeah.
So Gary, we got about 5 minutes left to finish off the show. What I want you to do is give some golden nuggets to our listeners, some easy things they can do to minimize their environmental footprint.
First of all, I want to stress something. I want to stress that me and Matt, I love Matt. He's a great guy. He's a responsible hunter, and he does a lot for the environment too. Now, I will segue into that. Consume as little as possible. It's simply a mentality. And people give me a hard time all the time. They say, well, you got a computer. You got a phone. Yeah, I had a 4S until recently, till it broke for years. My computer is, I bought used. I never said do not consume. I didn't say live like a caveman. And I use my computer and my phone and my physical being to go out and carry a message to the world. So I have to answer the phone to go save some animals sometimes. So it's funny how people try to pin me to the wall with the fact that I actually consume something. This shirt, I bought at Goodwill and I gorilla painted my message on it. I got the message tattooed on my back. So all I'm saying to you is don't buy bottled water. Have a water filter. Fill it up all the time. Fill it up at the fast food place. I take a bottle in my luggage everywhere I go, a glass one. And when I go through the security check, they let me go through and it's an empty bottle and I fill it up at the bars. They'll fill it up for me. I squeeze lemon in it, or at the McDonald's inside with the little water thing on the soda fountain. Or they have drinking fountains that have filtered water. So just imagine in one day, if nobody bought bottled water, imagine how much less plastic would hit the earth. So basically, bring your own to-go containers, bring your own water bottles. When you go to the coffee place, bring your own cup. When you straws, I guess, is number one. Don't use a straw. Or I actually keep my old straws. I could pull them off that shelf right there. I don't know if you can see them. I got a bunch of straws up there. I carry a plastic fork and spoon in my pocket. So when I go to grocery stores where they have like a buffet, I don't go get them at the little thing that kicks them out. I reuse them the whole time. I actually So if everybody, imagine everybody on Earth in a first world situation did this, could you imagine in one day how much less trash would hit the Earth? And you may think you don't matter, but you times, let's say there's maybe 4 billion people in this kind of situation out of the 7, maybe there's 3 billion of us. Those of us that have that luxury, if you could do this, do you know, imagine multiplied times billions every day, how much less trash would hit this Earth? I just want people to know, that's why it has to be the consciousness of humanity. Not just, you know, that's why, you know, here's the deal. The media is throwing commercials at you constantly to get you to consume. My mouth over and over, and wear it on my body, wear it on my back. I carry it onto the TV show because I'm a walking, talking commercial of one battling the hunting your eyeballs every day.
Gary, are you still there?
Yeah, did you hear me?
Yeah, we're basically done the show, Gary. I love your message, and I think a great analogy for our listeners is that if you go to the gym and you lift weights, you're going to wake up tomorrow and you're not going to look any different, right?
Rhabdomyoplasty, right? When you overwork out and you get lactic acid to your kidneys that harm you, yeah. When you brought that up, the working out too much, I know I used to overtrain. Yeah, it'll kill you.
Hear me out, Gary. Hear me out. So what I'm saying is I love your message, and a similar analogy is working out, right? You go to the gym, you lift weights, you're going to wake up tomorrow, you're going to look in the mirror, you're not going to look any different, right? It's the same thing as if you, for a day, decide not to buy bottled water. You know, it's not like you're going to really make any environmental impact if you do that for one day. But you keep going to the gym 5 days a week. You do that week after week. You do that month after month. 5 years from now, you look in the mirror, you're going to look like a completely different person, right? Same thing with that bottled water. Let's say you make an effort and you only consume bottled water maybe once a week. You know, people are human, right?
I love it.
Right? Let's say you consume bottled water only once a week. You do that for 5 years, that's thousands of bottles you kept out of the landfill. So it's all about making small, easy steps to achieve a long-term goal. So I love it, Gary. I love your message.
Yeah, Trevor and Steve. Hey, I'm gonna tell you because I'm intense because I get fired up on this stuff. You know, thank you. I love that you guys reached out to me. I'm honored, by the way. You know, I could come off a little condescending, a little arrogant, but I'm honored. I'm very grateful to you guys. I'm truly appreciative because anytime anybody has the intellect to have me come on and is aware of what I can deliver, I have respect for that person, for those people, because it truly is that big of a deal. And until we realize it, we're not going to get out of the dirty mess we're in.
So how can people, as we finish up the show, how can people learn more about your message and your tours and stuff that you do? Tell us a little bit about your website and how they can look that up.
Number one, I ask people to go to my Facebook page, consume as little as possible, and maybe even my Instagram, and like it and share it. And let's spread this around the world. You'll see I have a bunch of rocks in Russian and Ethiopian that I have children and their parents draw on with that exact message in different languages. And so let's have everybody like and share that message, number one. Number two, go to my Facebook page, The Golden State, or Tarzan of Los Angeles. Google Tarzan of Los Angeles. You will find me. If you ever come to LA, I will take you kayaking with whales, dolphins, snorkeling with sea lions. We will go out in nature, show you wild edibles. I'm a teacher. You have to remember, as crazy as I come off, I'm respected all over Los Angeles, and I'm trusted with people's five-year-olds. So I have a gentleness and a patience to me that, you know, I treat adults differently. And so I just encourage people, you know, if you want to have me speak, I spoke at UCLA in their E3 department about environmentalism. You know, I'll make appearances. I like to travel. But go to Consume As Little As Possible, like the page. Go to thegoldingstate.com, tarzanofLosAngeles.com. It's the same page. And if anybody wants to get some of these shirts, they go to the Tarzan of Los Angeles, scroll down, hit the donate button, and tell me your name, address, shirt size with $20, because I got to go to Goodwill and buy it because I do it reclaimed. And I gorilla paint on the back of it or the front, and I autograph it. And then you'll help a man who is out there trying to make the world a better place. So anything that you get from me, you're helping a man who lives for a very high purpose and that's out to make the world a better place. So just Consume As Little As Possible Facebook page, the Golding State Facebook page, and Tarzan of Los Angeles. Google me and subscribe to my YouTube channel, whatever. And I'm crazy. I'm over the top. I'm flamboyant. But at the same time, there's intellect behind it, and it got me to where I'm at now, being seen around the world. So either it's what I told the producers of the show. I said, crazy is my normal. Now, either I'm seen on a show around the world in almost every major language. Either I'm crazy, or I know exactly what I'm doing.
Gary, you are definitely one of the more unconventional guests we have had on the show, but I love your message, and I think this is an episode that our listeners will really like. For your host, Trevor Caritzen, and for my co-host, Steve Smee, this is another episode of Evolutionary Radio. Live your life, look to doing it. Thanks for listening. Thank you.